All right, go ahead and start it up.
So me and the boys were out at this pretty cool bar.
All right, stop it right there. All right. So, me and the boys. Who are the boys?
I don't know. The copy said
Huey.
All right.
Nettleton.
You can assume.
Jay the Midget.
Yes.
Goddard. Bondo. Yeah.
Those are the boys.
Me and the boys. Mm-hmm. Or is this people up at the station, like maybe you and your leader and Gen X Davey? Or I mean, we're supposed to, he assumes that we know this.
Well, what am I supposed to say? Me and Bondo and Nettleton,
yes,
and Huey and Chuck and Danny and Dave and,
well,
Groobs.
Yeah, I'd like you to be specific.
You understand, when you cut a commercial, you have 30 seconds.
Well, when I hear me and the boys, I'm wondering, well, who are the boys?
Well, okay.
Another thing, Ron, did you notice instead of saying, hey, we were out at the bar, it's me.
Get me first.
Get the spotlight on me.
Yeah, not
me,
the boys. Not the boys and me. It's me.
Me.
And the boys.
And the boys.
And what is this really cool bar? Where are you?
I'm telling you, that's a secret, because if I let it out, a bunch of people would show up.
Right,
I don't want it to be that
way. Because you're so famous.
Right. I don't need that type of attention drawn on me.
So me and the boys are out at this really cool bar. All right, so we've established that. Now let's hear what they're doing.
And Belvedere vodka. And Belvedere is the original luxury vodka.
Okay, stop it. They're drinking Belvedere vodka, and then it's like, oh, by the way, Belvedere is the original luxury vodka, but let's get back to me.
Not only is it a luxury vodka, it's the first of its kind. It's a luxury, the original luxury vodka.
Once again, he's got to let people know that he only drinks luxury vodka.
Right.
Luxury.
That's
vodka.
Right, I do.
I know.
That's it.
We know you.
You wouldn't see Corby tossing back a Skol and cranberry.
So, you know, it's me.
Right.
And then it's really cool place, mm-hmm, and luxury.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, let's continue.
The original luxury vodka. Pretty soon some ladies stopped by and ordered them some
Belvedere. Oh, okay. Pretty soon.
Like he knew it was going to happen eventually.
Right. Wait, hang on. What? I thought you knew that I went to TCU.
Well, yeah, I did.
Okay.
I did.
Do I have to tell you?
No. I mean, I knew it was going to happen too.
So pretty soon. You know,
I mean, it was only a matter of time before they showed up. I mean, I'm there, right?
Right.
Well, then, there you go.
So pretty soon, some ladies showed up.
Yeah.
Now he's using
inevitable.
Yeah, he's using inevitable. That word only in a commercial. What would he say if he were just talking?
Sluts?
No. We know what you would say.
What would I say? White girls?
No.
Bring on the bitches.
Yes.
All right, pretty soon, some ladies showed up.
And you know what? I don't think I've heard this commercial before, so I don't even know what happens after this. I'm very excited.
All right, well, let's listen to what happens next.
Pretty soon, some ladies stopped by and ordered them some Belvedere Cosmopolitans. And I asked the bartender, are they over here being cool to us because of the radio show? To which she says, no.
Stop it. Wow.
All right, pretty soon, some ladies stopped by. Mm-hmm. And order some Belvedere Cosmopolitans.
You know what that means, don't you?
Because I order them. I order them for them.
Yes.
You know that means, don't
they
you?
They don't order it. I order them for them.
Ladies, stop by.
Right.
Because there's going to be a lot stop by. They're not going to sit down. They're not going to come over there to him. They're just going to stop by because he's not going to keep them around very long.
Right. They're going to stop by. They're going to let him look them over and determine if they are worthy of his perusal and further consideration.
And if they are, then I'll buy him a Belvedere Cosmo.
Here's my issue with that line, because we all know that Corby's not buying anybody drinks. This is him rubbing in the fact that he's at this cool bar where he gets his stuff for free.
Right. Right.
And okay, I just love how he has to ask the bartender, who happens to be female, if you notice.
Right.
If these ladies are here because... I am a famous radio star.
Because of the radio show.
Because of the radio show. To which she replies,
no.
So not only is he inquiring about that, he's also letting her know,
yes,
as if she didn't,
mm-hmm,
that he is a very well-known radio personality.
Well, no, she knew that, you see.
Well, how did
she? See, I forgot.
We don't know that.
No, I do. I was there at the bar.
You were kind of covering both bases, though.
Exactly. If she didn't know, he was going to let her know.
Yeah, you know, she does know.
Because...
But see, apparently she did know. because she gave him an answer.
A one-word answer.
And that answer was...
No.
Now, it probably just sounded like no.
Actually, but, it didn't. I was mimicking her.
But when he does his spot to show everybody how cool he is, no comes out.
No. Yeah.
Hmm.
Look, I think that was a wonderful endorsement.
So what happens after that?
It was a true story.
Is it just disclaimers and stuff? What happens after that?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Well, let's go ahead.
The spot was actually about 2.5 minutes long because I had stories about these ladies.
Right.
They just cut it right there.
Stop trying to reverse it. Let's hear
are
the rest.
Over here go being ahead. Cool dust because of the radio show? To which she says, no, it's because you have good taste.
Oh!
Because you have good taste.
Right.
I like how he asks and proposes the idea that he's on a radio show and asks if that's why these ladies are hanging out over here. And she says, no, and it's not because you bought them free drinks. It's because you have good taste.
That's right.
You're like the most interesting man in the world.
I am.
I don't always drink vodka, but when I do,
I prefer Belvedere.
Hey, those are the best commercials going, man. He once punched a magician in the stomach.
Corby's blood smells like cologne.
I know. You just see him holding court with he and the boys.
No! Because you have good taste. Order Belvedere Vodka. Luxury reborn.
All right, there's
Belvedere
the callback.
40% alcohol by volume, 100% neutral spirits, distilled from rye. 2007 Millennium Imports, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Indulge moderately.
And at the very end, we are told by the snake to indulge moderately when night after night after night after night, you're out. Before long, you're hearing this.
With him and his boys at that cool bar. Wow. What a hypocrite.
Indulge moderately.
Indulge moderately.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I'm on my 11th.
Thank you, Belvedere.
Get ready for an all-new Hardline segment. It's time to step into the Snake Pit. And now, with something completely over the top, the host and star of the Snake Pit.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah!
If you're joining us for the first time today or this week, this is a weekly seg, Wednesday at around 5:15, where we get into what is on my mind, basically, and what's been driving me crazy or what I'm interested in throughout the week. And not too dissimilar from the old pig pen. I think Bob is going to start one himself here. In the coming days and weeks. So
I think you're right.
Today, I bring to you my battle with the chicken nugget.
That's never been said before.
You're in a battle with chicken?
Have had it with the chicken nugget. Now, I don't think I am in an incredibly rare boat taking this stance as a dad. If you have kids, if you've had kids, especially over the last 20 years or so, you know what I'm talking about. And that is, at a very early age, children discover the chicken nugget, and they really don't let it go. And this is something that, again, this is good old day syndrome and old man crap, but it was something that we didn't grow up with because it didn't exist. And
we had tater tots.
We did have tots. And so the other
fish sticks. We had fish sticks.
Yeah, we had fish sticks.
That was our equivalent of the nugget, wasn't it?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But my kids, just like any other kids, you feel like, okay, they reach a certain age and they're going to kind of outgrow this. But and I don't know if you're fighting this battle, Bob, but
invariably you look over there and you see that, like I did the other day, this weekend, as a matter of fact, and I look at my kid, my 15-year-old, and he's sitting there eating lunch, he's looking at his computer, and I kind of peer my head around the corner, and he has what appears to be a pyramid of chicken nuggets.
A sphinx of nugs?
There's so many of them on his plate that he had just microwaved.
God.
And it made me sick. Like, I'm like, dude, come on.
What are you eating?
What are you doing?
Having some nugs, bro.
Pretty much. I go, that's just disgusting, man. Can't you come up? We have so much food in this house, and you choose to do that and put that into your body. And I get it. I was, you know, growing up as a kid, you don't care about what you eat. It's not, I never did either. But again, that wasn't really a thing. That didn't exist, especially in the form of microwavable type stuff, where you go to the grocery store and just get, you know, 16 sacks of nugs to microwave whenever you wanted to.
Uh-huh.
So I'm looking at him. He goes, I know you ate this too when you were a kid. I'm like, no, I didn't, because they didn't exist. And he goes, whatever, they did too. And so we're going back and forth. I go, no, they didn't. Well, of course, I immediately go to internet.
Right.
To do a search for it.
The house of truth, known as the internet.
Right. And back in 1980, McDonald's was trying to figure out a way to come up with something different than just their standard burger fare. All right.
Correct.
And so in 1980, their matter of fact, the first thing they thought of was fish. But it didn't work out. They couldn't really get it right. Then they send their scientists, the McDonald's scientists, back to the drawing board. And they wanted to come
up
with...
While wearing clown suits.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Come up with something chicken-related. Well, they came up with, like, bone chicken. But then they figured, you know, it's too close to what KFC is doing. We can't do it. And then Ray Kroc, who was at the head of McDonald's at the time, the founder of McDonald's, said, why don't we take chunks of chicken and figure out something to do with that? And they did. And after about a year's worth of scientific experiments, they came up with what they thought was the perfect chicken nugget, which they called the McNugget. They rolled it out with no fanfare in the Southeast. I believe Kentucky was the test market, Louisville was the first market it was in. And immediately, the McNugget in 1981 started setting sales records for individual McDonald's, outpacing burgers and everything else.
Wow.
So obviously it didn't take too long before that was rolled out nationally. So in a way, I lied to my kid, because I really don't remember eating McNuggets.
No.
As a kid.
No, I was not privy to the chicken McNugget.
Man,
They had chicken strips. That was the closest thing that I remember is Dairy Queen.
Okay.
They pivoted, not away from, but added chicken strips to their country baskets. Because the first it was the steak finger basket, and then later on they added, which was the chicken tenderloin deep fried.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, nuggets, that was a McDonald's thing, and I wasn't near McDonald's until well into adulthood.
What's a steak fry?
A steak fry is just a thicker cut French. It's the way a French fry is cut.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I...
Like a fry made of steak?
Well, for some reason, I was thinking, yes, as they're developing a chicken finger, I was wondering, were they doing something with red meat? And I'm like, no way, right?
They did have steak fingers, which was just ground meat. Like you've had
like
chicken fried steak, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's that. It's just in prefabbed little strips.
Steak fingers.
So they roll these sons of bitches out in the early 80s, and again, I was from a fast food perspective, I was a Wendy's P1 and wasn't really into what McDonald's had to offer. But and then it also was packaged as some sort of children's dish, I believe, at the time, the McNug was. Or at least it at some point it went to that, where it was sold
They knew their audience.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know, and I guess that's how it all started in the early to mid 80s to where...
Yeah.
It's rolled out as a kid's meal.
Well, man, I don't know if I agree with McDonald's doing that. There's no question the nugget, maybe not a McNugget, but a nugget has been a
McNugget
has
is so dumb.
Has been a mainstay on children's menus at restaurants everywhere. Some
Since
variation
about
of
then, though.
Fried chicken.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
What I'm saying though is when I was in high school, maybe junior high as well, I remember that becoming one of my go-to moves is getting the six-piece because they had the revolutionary little tub of sauce and you could pick the sweet and spicy
barbecue,
honey, and there was one more. Can't remember the other one. Oh, I don't even think ranch was an option at the time.
No. That ranch was not a thing. Did you find your kids who were well into high school, are they still consuming the Nug?
Yes, and it's really weird because
it's unbelievable, dude.
The kids' palate feels even slower to develop now than it did when we were kids.
I don't get it. I do get it, and I think it's because you know there was no kids' menu generally. You go to a restaurant and it's menu, and then you know I don't know if McDonald's was the one that kicked it all off, but there was no other option. You just ate what was on the menu. And then at home, you ate, in turn, what your mother made you.
That's the way it was.
That was it.
Yeah, yes.
There was no kids' menu.
No. And I think it's really set kids back.
It probably has.
Years and years and years. And eventually they grow out of that, unless you're like Matt Birmingham, who still eats like a seven-year-old.
I do think, yes. I think we meet way more people in their mid-20s that still eat like they're seven. I think that's right.
That's troubling.
And I think it probably can be traced to the American family using restaurant food way more often than they did three decades ago when you'd show up at the kitchen table and whatever mom served, they're going to ask you to eat that. And it's probably on us parents because now we just don't have the energy.
That's it.
To convince them to eat what mom's just worked an hour on.
Or if you go to a restaurant, say you're not allowed to order off the kids' menu. The problem is with that, all right, I want the chicken fried steak or whatever, and it looks like a football, and a five-year-old, you know, you're walking out of there with a grocery bag full of to-go food.
Right.
Because they eat like two bites of it.
Well, and it's also the convenience. You know, you've got to get your kids to Little League practice, and you got a minivan full of little Rugrats, and, oh, it's just so much easier to roll through and get something cheap and crappy and salty and full of fat and preservatives and shovel that down their neck. And you know what? They love them. They're delicious.
Yeah, and there's also the element of the kids menu, as gross as it generally seems to many adults. It's also the price point is far more reasonable.
Yeah.
So why buy them an adult meal if they're...
I don't want to go $14.99 for the 6-year-old.
Right, right. Oh, you know what? Why don't you get those chicken fingers? But I am curious, so do you buy one of those 100 nugget bags from
Costco,
and then they just go open it up and dump out eight and throw them in the microwave?
Eight.
How about 18?
I don't even know.
Especially my kid eats so much at 15 now.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, it looked like a damn pyramid of nuggets. I'm like, you're gross. You're too old for this. And the thing is, though, McDonald's, they weren't the first ones to do this. The nugget, not the McNugget, the chicken nugget was created in 1963 by this guy named Robert Baker, who was basically a poultry scientist at Cornell University.
Mm-hmm. What's your major? Poultry science.
He's the one that basically turned chicken into chicken hot dogs, chicken canned hash, which was big in the 60s. Chicken meatloaf. He was trying to up the game and the profit margin of poultry farmers from where he was from. So he was coming up with all these different ways to than just fried chicken.
Right. He found a way to mechanically separate every possible useful part of the chicken's tendons, organs, the meat, all of it. He was able to mechanically separate all that stuff and grind it up into a paste. And then deep fry, batter it and spice it up and deep fry it.
Here's what they say.
This is amazing, by the way.
That this guy went through. He says that there were two food engineering challenges for the original nugget in 1963. Keeping ground meat together without putting a skin around it, and then keeping batter attached to the meat despite the shrinkage caused by freezing and the explosive heat of frying.
Always shrinkage.
All right. They figured out both of these. And the whole process, by the way, he says that he sent this out, like his original recipe or whatever, or idea. He sent this out to 200 different companies that were in the food processing game or the food manufacturing game, and they all were like, no. Nah.
Still have the idea, though.
This will never, ever work. And so it just sat there. The idea sat there. The whole process, recipe, box design, everything he sent out saying this will work, here it is. And he didn't even offer, there wasn't even a price attached to it. He was just like, he was giving his idea away for free. And all these companies were like, yeah, whatever, bro. This is dumb. Nobody eats chicken like this.
Yeah.
But he was the first guy.
Now, if you need bar food, though, you'll go chicken fingers once in a while, won't you?
Oh, I'm not saying that I'm completely...
No, I'm just taking your temperature.
Yeah.
When it's time to order something from generic restaurant,
yeah.
I will occasionally go down this road, and I find it delightful.
Can I just say...
Generally speaking, though, the chicken tender, chicken finger
is different than the nugget.
It is the tenderloin that is within the breast part of the chicken that is
right.
its own... It's the leanest, most expensive part of the chicken. Those are battered in a seasoned batter and deep fried. What Corby's talking about is all the other stuff.
right. Yes.
Run through a grinder.
The hot dog of a chicken.
And so, added a binder added to it, and it's turned into a paste, a goo.
Yes. What hot dogs are to pigs, nuggets are to chickens.
Exactly. Yeah. When you look at the nutritional information of a nugget, which Danny sent me.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It found that less than half of the material in all popular chicken nuggets was skeletal muscle with fat occurring in an equal or greater proportion. Other components included tissue, bone, nervous tissue, and connective tissue. And that most chicken nuggets, not fingers, nuggets, are mostly fat, and their name is a misnomer.
The fact that it even says chicken?
Exactly.
Right. Oh, no.
Yeah, man.
That's it. And man, I'm at war with the nugget. And It upsets me every time I see my kid grab the box of dinosaur-shaped nuggets, and that's a thing, man. They've got, like, I mean, the way that they market this crap.
They market them as dinosaurs, and that's not right.
No, it's not. It's not at all.
They're definitely not dinosaurs.
But I know I'm not in this boat alone, man.
You're not.
Got to prepare some healthy food for your kids.
Introduce them to Pizza Pockets. That'll fix everything.
Yeah, there you go. But
right,
you know, get like an air fryer and cook some chicken breast strips. You know, there's a way to do a nugget that's not deep fried and covered in bread.
I noticed Mino's been awful quiet this entire segment.
I'm with Corby.
Okay.
He's over it, too.
Okay.
I mean, I definitely dipped into the dino nugs in college, but... It was just the most easy thing to get.
Yeah, of course.
You don't know the grilled chicken.
Right.
You don't know grilled chicken sandwiches or
no
grilled chicken salads.
Those.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, okay. It's actually better for me.
On the Velociraptor, you know. Oh, look at there.
To learn your dinosaurs.
Yeah. All right.
Today in my neighborhood, I went and took a jog before I came into work. And sometimes when I'm jogging in the neighborhood, I run into this lady who I've run with at the lake before, and so we'll hook up and run.
Any hot bitches?
Yeah, she's an attractive lady. So today we're running, and we run the same route, just kind of farting around, and we come upon...
Well, maybe you were, she can't.
Yeah. We come upon this house that in the front yard they're doing major, major landscaping work.
Mexicans.
Right. And when you're doing major landscaping work, you're assured of one thing and one thing only, Mike.
Dirt.
And who is moving that dirt?
Mexicans.
Thank you, Mike. So we're running, and there's probably a crew of about 12 to 15 of them.
Hey, I salute them for that, man.
I know.
They have their place in this world, and let's not any of us forget that.
This is a major, major overhauling of a yard.
Wow.
So, we're running, and we're about two houses away, and one guy I notice kind of turns around and looks up at us as we're running towards him. And then it's like he gave the signal. So as we're running by their house, all 15 of these guys are like, just kind of stop what they're doing, stand up, and just stare at this woman in silence. It's like a, like some sort of zoo feature or something. And I'm like, can you guys not be a little bit more inconspicuous by leering at this woman?
So it was like a yard full of Gregos.
All right, the worst leer in the world, of course, is Grego. You're the worst, correct?
Sure.
He'll stare at a woman.
Well, you gave that up pretty easy.
He'll stare at her no matter when, where. I mean, you're just, you know, you'll do it. But as a group, the Mexican, I guess, I've determined, is the absolute worst. So they're just staring at her. So we come back. It's like a 2 miles later, we come back, and I'm like, okay, surely they won't do it again. Same thing. Stop dead in their tracks at what they're doing, put their shovels down, and just stare. And a couple of them are elbowing the other ones, and they're just leering at this poor lady. And I finally go, dudes, come on.
Are any of them saying anything in English?
No.
Maybe they were looking at you.
No, I know they weren't looking at me. Uh-uh. I'm like, come, you know, please. And they don't say anything. I'm like, can't you just show a little bit of class? I mean, when a good-looking woman comes by, every guy either looks at her out of the corner of his eye, or maybe she'll pass by and they'll turn around and look at her. But the leering factor of the Mexican is out of control.
Well, can you blame them? I mean, they're there having to do that manual labor.
Yeah.
And the only entertainment they get all day is from a radio playing Mexican music and a good-looking girl walking or jogging
hey,
by.
They don't have to listen to a donkey and an accordion coming out of their jam box all day, you know? And that's the kind of music they got coming out of there. And they certainly don't have to leer that way. And I'm telling you, it's disturbing.
What'd she say?
And it's not like they're just staring at her head. It's up and down and up and down. They're just...
Did it bother her?
Yeah, it did. She's like, God, she goes, it's so disgusting. Now, the flip side of it is, of course, if they weren't, then she'd probably be offended. You know, that's probably how most women think. Mm-hmm. But she has to probably put on that facade and say, oh, this is just disgusting. I want you to remember that, by the way, next time you're leering. When you're talking to a sales girl and she's giving you a proposal and
your eyes are glued to her cleavage.
Yeah, you're just staring at cleave. That's right. I would love a car from you.
So do you think maybe she went home and got on the computer and typed up a letter to the penthouse forum? I never thought anything like this would happen to me, but...
But it's true. It's the Mexican is worse. The construction worker is second. It doesn't matter what color they all are. They love to leer.
Mm-hmm.
They're the
But they'll whistle and catcall.
Yeah.
Now, where does the iron worker fit into this?
I've never been in a steel city before, Mike, to be honest with you.
They're usually too high.
What about the auto worker? What about him?
It looks like an angry Hispano has just made his way to the table. Well, we can't hear you.
We can't hear you, sir.
Hang on, angry Mexican.
You're about to get your ass kicked.
We'd like to reiterate on this. Not everyone stares and leers. Every person that comes in the Hooters has that particular quality of them. They do the same thing. We can't specify on a Hispanic or Mexican or construction worker. You got construction workers who are white, come in here and stare the same way they do on the street.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But this is, you're supposed to here. That's what
everywhere,
this place is for.
Everywhere. 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 This is not here. This is everywhere.
Are you gay?
Please speak, please, with respect. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Are you gay?
Norm, leave him alone. He's not gay.
Damn it.
Wow. Just a brief rebuttal there. That's
fine.
All.
Hey, I don't mind rebuttal. That's fine. I'm just saying in general, and I'm generalizing, and I could be stereotyping as well, but the day laborer, Hispano male, will leer and make no bones about it, and it is a little bit creepy. And you know what? These girls that work in Hooters, they expect it. You know what?
This place is all about it, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. I mean, they barely have on pants here, you know? You have no choice but to leer.
The name of the place is Hooters.
Hooters. Yes.
Now, where does the auto worker fit in?
Why do
this?
You keep doing this?
What are you doing?
I'm just... trying to get a little bit of an idea of the pecking order, of the leering pecking order.
I don't know.
Where does the blacksmith fall in this?